have not been shy in speaking about how I loved returning back to Lewiston, the Lewiston area, and not only to be back with some old friends that I have made over the years, but also to be in an area that is filled with faith, love of the Lord God, and to be with people who have had great devotions to the Eucharist with adoration, to the Blessed Mother with the Rosary, to the saints, and to the beautiful churches that we have here. You could say that I was teased by God with the offer to come back to Lewiston. There's a lot attractive about being a priest in this area, but most especially the people and the faith that you all have. You know, in the spiritual life, you could say that coming back here is like filled with all kinds of consolations. A lot of feel-goods, as they say. And if you remember, we were embarking on Lent like it used to be. And right in the middle of ramping things up, everything got shut down. We were ordered to stop doing everything and keep safe from this unknown virus that still plagues us today. Who would have thought, when I was assigned here, that all the things we were gearing up for would not be allowed to happen? And God set us on another course instead. This is a road we had no idea how to navigate because we've never been here before. The only words that could be uttered back then were, "So what now? The honeymoon is over and now I have to get to the task at hand." This is no different than what most people go through. There's this first, the attraction and the desire for someone or something that is part of dreaming what it will be like, which is usually romanticized. And then once attaining it, there's this realization of what it means to endure. I think each one of us could think of an experience of dreaming about some future and then finding out what it takes to live that future. The experience of dating and marrying and then living married life for 25 years and more is the example of looking back and realizing that it is not at all what I thought it would be. You know, having worked with guys thinking of seminary and then going to seminary, getting ordained, which usually is filled with all kinds of beautiful consolations, and then the living out of the priestly life, which has its own struggles and difficulties, crosses, and blessings. For some, when the struggles and the difficulties come, it's time to give up and move on. For others, it's a time of purification and clarifying what this decision, this commitment, this promise, and this life are all about. When you look at the first reading, you hear the heart crying out to God. As Jeremiah says, "You duped me, Lord, and I let myself be duped." God called Jeremiah to be a prophet and gave him a lot of consolations and great feelings. At the very beginning, Jeremiah said that he was too young, but God said, "Do not say you are too young. Go to the people I will send you to and speak my words to them." Now, by the 20th chapter, which is what we have today, he's realized what happened. God called him, and he answered, but now he sees that it has caused him much heartache. He is an object of laughter, and the people are mocking him, he says. Whenever he speaks of God, it has only brought him derision and reproach all the days, he says. So in the first reading, Jeremiah tells God, I am not going to speak anymore about you, God. I can't do it anymore. But then he says that God's words burn within him, in his heart, and in his bones, he says, that he can't keep it in. He kind of feels tricked by God. That's why he says, oh, you duped me, Lord, you tricked me. Because he does not want to be the prophet anymore. He thought it was going to be good and easy and filled with great consolations. And yet he knows that that in his heart, he cannot not do it. But I know he has to fulfill his call. Just as Jesus says in the gospel, he too has to pick up his cross and follow God. See, in the spiritual life, our journeys are filled with moments of consolation and desolation. The moments of consolation are filled with such great feelings. Feelings about our faith and about God. We feel close to him and we're happy. And it all seems so right and perfect. Life is filled with consolations, like young love, the feeling of a call by God, coming back from a powerful retreat and being on a high, times of an adoration where you feel just so close to God, the birth of a child where you see miracles happening in your midst, doing works of charity and making difference in people's lives, knowing that you have changed other people's lives, and that makes you feel very good inside. These are good and holy things that move us. These are consolations, and they keep us coming back and doing it more and more. But in the spiritual life, there's also time for purification of our motives and our desires. Because we can do good and great things solely for the good feelings that they generate in our hearts. For the accolades they bring us when people clap because they're impressed. Or for the ego that needs to be fed. But in time, we can be attached to these consolations. We love these feelings. We love the way we feel when we're with the people we love. But when the happy, beautiful feelings are gone, we're faced with desolation and a choice, a time to be purified of our motives and to keep our commitments and our beliefs. It's also a time for many to give up and to seek after and chase after other places where they'll get consolation instead. We do believe that God has a right to test our resolves, our promises to him. And in doing so, we build character that makes us into the people we are. Trial and temptation and persecution, the cross that Jesus speaks about in today's gospel, are necessary parts of finding the life that God has in store for us. Because it deepens our resolve to do God's will in our lives solely for our love for God and no other reason. Once the consolations are gone, all those good feelings, and we have to be about the work of God in what it means to be truly people who offer forgiveness, to accept our faults and that of others, and the challenge to continue to love and to remain faithful to God in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, as well as other people in our lives. That's when the internal purification happens. And it changes us, and it affects us, and it shapes who we are. You know, traditional Catholic spiritual theology speaks of three stages: purgative, illuminative, and unitive. Through the cross of purgation, purifying, we see things differently and with new eyes we call illuminative. And it's only then that we can move to the unitive phase of uniting ourselves to Christ offered on the cross. And we we feel like we are truly one with God. All too often, we think the times of consolation and good feelings were the times when we were unitive and united with God. But there is not unitive without purgative, without the purifying and the burning away of our own sins in our life. And we all know that we grew most as a person when we were tried and found faithful to God. Life has a way of purifying us, of sharpening the sword, and of finding authentic, mature faith in God. Jesus today says, as we pick up the cross, we find our lives in its entirety. Peter today wants to spare Jesus of the cross. No, not you, Lord. You can't go to the cross. And Jesus knows that comes from Satan, because it's only through the cross that we will find new life. Think as God thinks, Jesus says today, not as human beings do.